Revelation 20. Look at the words of verse 12. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Think of these words. "And the books were opened." And this next statement particularly. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." And then look at the final verse of the chapter. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I want to emphasize to you at the outset tonight that in the Bible, in the Word of God, remember the word Bible itself means a book. It comes from the word Biblos, which is the idea of book, and this is the book of books. But in the Bible, there are many other books that are mentioned, referred to, and spoken about. And I'm not thinking, when I say that, of the 66 inspired books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. I'm thinking of books that are referred to in the Bible in addition to those 66 inspired volumes. For example, there is the book of Chronicles. It's generally described in the Bible as the book of the Chronicles of Kings and Judah. And it's repeatedly mentioned, repeatedly spoken about and emphasized, particularly in the book of Kings. And can I say to you that that book of Chronicles is not to be confused with the inspired book of Chronicles. You know, there's 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then 1 and 2 Chronicles. Well, whenever you read of the book of Chronicles, when it's talking about some of the kings, and it says, "as was recorded in the book of Chronicles," that's not the same books as 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's referring to the official record of the kingdom, either of Israel or Judah, at that particular time. There was an official record that was kept by the government of the day. Do you remember the night in Esther chapter 6, the king couldn't sleep, and he sent for the books. The books were opened. It was the book of the record of his kingdom. And as that book was read to him to help him pass the night, it was revealed that Mordecai had been instrumental in the saving of his life, the revealing of a plot that had been hatched against the king at that time. So there's the book of Chronicles of Kings and Judah. There's also a book that is called the book of Jasher. It's mentioned twice in the scriptures, in the books of Joshua and also the book of Samuel. And many people believe the book of Jasher was a book of poems, poems of historical events that took place in Old Testament times. But I cite those two books to you tonight as examples of other volumes that are referred to in the Word of God. But I want to say to you, men and women, in this gospel service, the most interesting books mentioned in the Bible are the books that are spoken of here in Revelation chapter 20. The scene here is the final judgment of the ungodly. What a solemn scene this is. It is the great white throne judgment. Remember, I've emphasized to you, not the same, not to be confused with the judgment seat of Christ. This is the final judgment of the ungodly. The great white throne judgment of the sinner. And let me point out, men and women, that books will have a very prominent place on that great and solemn day. Notice what it says in verse 12. We're clearly told, "and the books were opened." We've been taught, those words are teaching us and telling us, that on the judgment day, during those solemn proceedings that will be enacted at that great white throne, some important books will be opened and they will be examined. You ask me tonight, what books will be opened on that day? You ask What books, or from which books, will God pass judgment and God pass sentence upon the sinner? Well, let me say to you, there'll be three books in particular. There's a book of law. In other words, we're thinking of God's law, the book of Scripture itself will be there. The Savior, when he was here on earth and he was preaching, he said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You will be judged, men and women, in the light of Scripture, by the standard of the Word of God. You will be judged by the teaching of the Scriptures themselves. You think of it like this. If you had a Bible, and I think it's true to say there's not a person in this congregation, there are very few people in this land tonight that don't have a Bible. But if you had a Bible and you rejected it, you rejected the teaching of it, you rejected the message of it, especially the invitation of the gospel, then how awful that great judgment day will be for you. So it's the book of law. Another book that will be opened will be the book of labors. If you look at verse 12, it says, "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." You take it in tonight. God keeps a record of your works and of your labor. Some of you maybe remember the days if a child misbehaved or if somebody did something wrong, often the statement that would be made, the response that would be given would be, "God has written it down in his book." And that's true, men and women. It's good to be reminded of that. Have that underlined and impressed upon your hearts tonight. The book of their works. God keeps a record of all of your labors. God is a full, he has a factual account of all the deeds that you have done in the body. Not a sobering thought tonight. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to produce it on the judgment day. You think of that. In that book, nothing is hidden that shall not be revealed. And let me say to you, don't be mistaken. Those words are not teaching that you will be saved or get into heaven by works. The Savior said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, the sort of works that you did, that will reveal if you were saved or unsaved. The way that you've lived, the life you've lived, the works that were manifest in your life, that will reveal whether you were converted or whether you were not. So there's the book of law, the book of labors, and the other one is the book of life. The books were opened. That's the other great book that will be opened on that day. If you look again at verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." And here's one that is underlined, really emphasized to it. "Another book was opened, which is the book of life." The details of this third book, men and women, will be consulted greatly on that dreadful day. This book is described as the book of life. David in the Psalms calls it by another name. He calls it the book of all living. And it is this book tonight, in particular, that we're going to consider just for a little while in the service tonight, the book of life. The first thing I want to say a little about is this, the identity of the book. Immediately you will ask, as you think about it, you will ask the question, what is this book? What is the book of life? And it's vital, men and women, at the outset of our study tonight that we establish the identity of this book, that we have a very clear understanding of what it actually is. What is it tonight? Well, just as the name suggests, this is a book that contains the names of all who ever received life. Now, let me make it clear, not just those who were born. Let me underline that. It is more than that. It is more than a register of births. Because remember, many were given life in the womb who were never born, as we sometimes say, never saw the light of day. So this book, the book of life, is not just those who were born. It's not just the names of the redeemed, the names of the saved. There's often confusion about that. The book of life, men and women, contains a record of everyone
And I want to stress that to you tonight. I want you to be under no illusion, no misunderstanding. The book of life contains a record of everyone that God ever gave the gift of life to. And you know what that means? That your name is recorded in this book. Regardless tonight of who you are, regardless of what you've done, regardless tonight as you sit in this gospel service of whether you're a saint or a sinner, your name is in this book. Everyone in this meeting, everyone in your family, everyone tonight across the world, across the face of the earth, their name is in the record. And I want you to ponder that, consider it. I want you, with God's help, to take it in. There's a book in heaven, men and women. A book that God has in heaven before his throne at this very moment. And it has your name recorded in it. You ask the question, and you do well to ask this question. Why does God keep such a book? Why does God keep such a record? Well, I'll tell you why. It shows the value that God puts upon life. Life today, in the generation, the society, the world, the land in which we live, is cheap. There's no value today placed upon life. You see that as you look out upon society, look out upon the world. Think of the vast number of abortions, the increasing number of murders and homicides that there are. There's no value, men and women. Life is of no value to the world and to men and to society today. But I want you to know it's not so with God. In God's eyes, life, and he's the giver of all life, but in the eyes of the Creator, the one that gave man life to begin with, in God's eyes, life is such a blessing, life is so precious, that he has a record of the names of all that he gives that precious gift to. He has a special book in which he writes down the names of all living, all that he ever breathed the breath of life into. So that's the identity, men and women, of the book of life. I want you to think, as well as that, as we build upon that in our study tonight, I want you to think about the inquiry of the book of life. Look at verse 15. It says, "And whosoever was not found written." Think of the word "found." Not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That word "found" gives the idea of an inquiry that's been made. And I want you to get the picture. Think of the solemn scene, the judgment bar of God. And this book is going to be opened on the judgment day. And the book is going to be opened for a reason, not just going to be opened for show. Sometimes that happens. It's not going to be opened for show. The book of life will be opened for a very specific reason, because an inquiry, an investigation will be made from it. There's going to be a roll call that will be made. You think of that. Names that will be called. The judge will go down the list, and he'll go down the list for this purpose, to see whose names are recorded there. Now you will ask, as you ponder that and consider it, you will ask why. Why is such an inquiry made? If everyone's name is written in this book as they receive the gift of life from God, then why does God make an inquiry at the great white throne judgment, at the final judgment of the sinner? Why does he make an inquiry to see whose names are recorded there? Well, let me tell you why. Because on that day, men and women, there will be many names, and I stress that to you, many names, that will not be found in the book, not be found in the book of life. A search will be made through that book from beginning to end. It'll be a thorough search. In fact, we would have to say it'll be an infallible search, because there'll be no mistakes that will be made. And as that search is made right through this book, certain names will not be found. Certain names will not be there. I wonder, will yours be among them? You ask me, how can that be? How can it be that names would not be there in the book of life? Well, the answer is very simple. But the answer, men and women, is very solemn and very sobering. The reason their names are not there is because their names have been blotted out of the book. And I want you to take that in tonight. Get a hold of that. Do you remember when Moses, in the Old Testament scriptures, what an intercessor Moses was. What a man of God. Do you remember when Moses was passionately pleading with God for the children of Israel? That God would have mercy, that God would spare the children of Israel. Moses made this unprecedented request of the Lord. He said in the book of Exodus, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Not a staggering statement, men and women. Such was his love. Such was his burden. Such was his concern and compassion for the children of Israel. He asked God to blot his name out of the book that God had written. The answer that God gave to Moses that day, men and women, is a very interesting and very instructive answer, because essentially what God said to Moses was this: you I will not blot out of the book, but sinners I will blot out of my book. And men and women, I want you to understand tonight. I want you to be absolutely no doubt. Let there not be any question in your mind this evening. Your name can be erased. Your name can be blotted out of the book of life. The fact is this: if you die unsaved, die without Christ, you're going out to face death. You're going out to face eternal death. What Revelation 20 here describes as the second death, that is, body and soul, been cast out into the lake of fire forever. So if you die without Christ, you're going out to face eternal death. Therefore, you have no right to have your name in the book of life. Do you understand that? Going out to face death, the full force, the full penalty for your sin. So you have no right to have your name in the book of life. And therefore, God will blot it out. And he'll blot it out, men and women, forever, for all eternity. The fact is, as every unsaved person dies, God will erase their name from the book of life. And what that means, can I impress this with God's help upon your heart tonight? It means if you're not careful, unsaved person, you will be among them. You will know there's another book mentioned in the Word of God. It's spoken of in the Scriptures. A very precious book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Turn over one page, Revelation 21, and look at the final verse of the chapter, and look at the final statement of the verse. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You may have asked this question. People often do. The question is, are the books the same? The book of life and the Lamb's book of life, are they the same? The answer, men and women, is no. That's often where the confusion arises, that people view the books as being synonymous, one and the same book, but they're not. The Lamb's book of life, men and women, is this. What is written there? The names of all the redeemed. The names of those for whom Christ died when he suffered upon the cross. But at the end of time, on the day of judgment, that day which Revelation 20 is speaking about, on that great day, the names in the two books, the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, on that day the names will be the same. Why will they be the same on that day? Well, it's very simple. Because by then, the names of all who died without Christ will have been blotted out of the book of life. So I say to you, men and women, listen carefully. At the great white throne, what God will do, he'll open the book of the Bible. He'll open the book of your labors, and he'll open the book of life. And he's going to look into that book, and inquiry is going to be made for those whose names are still found there. And the solemn truth is this, men and women. If your name is not in the book, if it's not in the book of life, then I have to tell you, you'll never be in heaven. But you'll be cast out into the lake of fire forever and forever. You may be familiar with the story of Schindler's List. Some that were with us in Israel saw some of the references to Oscar Schindler. His grave is there in the Protestant graveyard on Mount Zion. It's quite a story. Some of you may have read the book or seen the film. In essence, one of the great emphases of the story of Schindler's List was this. If you weren't on the list, Schindler had a list of names, ran into quite a few hundred, maybe 1,200 names or thereabouts. If your name wasn't on Schindler's List, then you died the awful death in the concentration camps. And the men and women at the judgment, it'll be exactly the same. If your name's not in the book, then you'll die eternally. The second death will be your experience. Can I ask you tonight, in the words of the old hymn, we'll sing it in a little while, when the roll is called up yonder, and the roll is called on that day, the roll call is made, will your name be there? Will your name be in the book of life? I warn you, men and women, it'll not be there. It'll not. If you keep on rejecting Christ, keep on refusing his offer of salvation. There's one other thing we've thought about tonight. The identity of the book, the inquiry of the book. What about the importance of the book of life? Verse 15, Revelation 20 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What those words are stressing is this, the importance of the book. The importance, men and women, of having your name in the book. The warning is, and it's a very clear warning, take it to heart tonight. If your name's not found, if your name is not there, the result of that is you'll be lost. You'll be doomed. Don't fool yourself tonight. Don't fool yourself. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what position you hold. It doesn't matter what you've done. The fact is, if your name's not in the book on the day of judgment, you'll be shut out of heaven. And you'll be cast out into the furnace of fire. Isn't it true people like to have their names in books? Nothing like getting a book and opening the book and reading through it and finding your own name recorded in it. People like to have their names in important books and lists and places. But I tell you this, on the great white throne judgment day, it won't matter what book your name was in. It won't matter what history book your name was recorded in. It won't matter if the Queen named you on her honors list. It won't matter if your name was on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. On that day, men and women, all that will matter is this, that your name is in the book of life. Is your name written there on the pages bright and fair? Is your name written in the book of life? Remember the old gospel hymn that contains those words? Do you remember the story the Savior told, or the story that's recorded during the ministry of the Savior? Those 70 disciples that returned from their preaching ministry, and they came back with great joy. They came back rejoicing in the blessing that they'd known. And the thing that they mentioned and emphasized especially was that the devils were subject unto them. But the Savior immediately gave them this warning. And the reason he gave them the warning, can I say to you, men and women, is because they were rejoicing that day in something that could change. Circumstances change, even in the work of God. We're not always in days of great blessing. There's times when the tide is out. There's times, men and women, when we sow rather than when we reap. It's good to keep that in mind. And if those things are the source of your joy and the source of your rejoicing, then it's going to change just with the circumstances. The Savior gave them this warning: notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because, do you know the rest of the verse? Because your names are written in heaven. That's what you ought to rejoice in tonight. Don't be rejoicing in circumstances that can change so easily, can change by the day. Rejoice in this: your name is written in heaven. Do you know why that's so important, men and women? What's written in heaven is settled. Can't be changed. Can't be erased. No man can remove your name from the book of God in heaven. So I want you to rejoice in that tonight. That's what's really worth rejoicing in, because your name is in the book of life. And the great truth, men and women, is this: it's there to stay. It's there to stay for all eternity. Do you have that joy tonight? Can you go out of this meeting rejoicing in that great fact, that great truth? Your name's written in heaven. It's written in God's book, the book of life. And it's written in the Lamb's book of life as well. I say this to you in closing. Listen to this promise, again found in the early chapters of the book of the Revelation. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. The overcomer, what a title that is. The overcomer is not the elite among Christians. Some would say that, some would teach that. Some would want you to believe that. The overcomer is the Christian. If you're really saved, really born again, you will overcome. You will have the victory. Oh, you'll overcome over all the circumstances and all the struggles and all the persecutions and all the oppositions of this life. He that overcometh, and it's by God's grace that we will overcome. And the overcomer, the Bible promises, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out. Take it in, men and women. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. If you want to have that assurance tonight, want to have that comfort in your heart, then I tell you, you need to be a Christian. You need to be saved. You need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. If you've never done that, never been your experience, you can do it tonight. And I would urge you with all my heart to do it tonight, even before you leave this place. So think of the text, the end of the chapter, Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We'll sing those words 150.